There are Christian leaders that teach that God's perfect will for his children always involves freedom from physical pain or emotional struggles or spiritual battles. Paul's dedicated life as a Christian certainly demonstrates that this is a false doctrine. His decision to go to Jerusalem was definitely God's perfect will for him, but the results were anything but pleasant. In fact, he almost lost his life. His physical pain was excruciating. His emotional agony was almost unbearable. And he had spiritual struggles that were against Satan himself. So we see a settled decision on his part. Just before this huge uproar and riot in Ephesus, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. We see that in Acts 19:21. Though he'd been hoping to make this trip from the moment he launched out on his third missionary journey, he settled on a specific time frame toward the end of his three-year ministry in this key city. Paul made his primary objective for this trip very clear. He wanted to deliver gifts of money to needy Christians. He knew that there were believers in the Jerusalem area that had such needs, and he wanted to help them. He had never forgotten that day in Jerusalem when the apostles, who were Peter and John, that had affirmed his ministry to the Gentiles with a very important request. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. He wrote to the Galatians. All they asked was that he would continue to remember the poor, the very thing that he really wanted to do. But Paul had several related objectives that are more subtle, but also clear. True, he wanted to demonstrate to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, and particularly the leaders, that he had not forgotten that they had given him that charge. But more importantly, he wanted them to know that he had taught his pagan converts that they owed a debt of gratitude to these Jewish believers. So consequently, as he kept going on his third missionary journey and he revisited Thessalonica and Corinth, he informed the Christians in those cities about this urgent need. In fact, he communicated very directly that these believers had an obligation to their Jewish brothers and sisters. If it had not been for the apostles' charge to Paul and Barnabas to go to the Gentiles, the gospel might never have went into the pagan world. So he writes a letter to the Christians in Rome. And when he arrived in Corinth, he penned this letter, one of his most comprehensive epistles. Though he had never been to the capital city, he was acquainted with a number of Christians who lived there, and he wanted to visit them for years and planned to stop by on his way to Spain. But first, he let them know he was headed for Jerusalem to carry out his very specific purpose. He says this, "Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there for Macedonia and Achaia. We're pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles had shared in the Jewish spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings." We see this in Romans 15:25-27. And then he writes a letter to the Christians in Corinth. As Paul traveled and shared that special need, the Macedonians, who certainly included the Philippians, the Bereans, and the Thessalonians, modeled generosity for believers of all time. Paul was so impressed with their sacrificial attitudes that he spelled out in detail in his second letter to the Corinthians believers who were faltering in their faith promises to participate in that project. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:1-4, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. So here again, Paul's reference to the saints in this paragraph referred to those poor Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Eventually, the Corinthians, who were noted for their lack of spiritual depth, also responded, but not until they had several reminders and a great deal of accountability. And so, with the assistance of several men appointed by the various churches, Paul collected the money and continued on his way to Jerusalem. See, Paul had a commitment to accountability. He never handled these money gifts alone, lest he be accused of putting his hand in the till. As we've seen in his meeting with the Ephesian elders, he wanted to be above reproach, never giving people an opportunity to accuse him of loving money or stealing it. Consequently, as he collected these monetary gifts, he had the churches in every major area appoint trustworthy men to travel with him. In fact, this is such an important factor that the Holy Spirit spelled out who these men were. Paul is accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. It seems apparent that these men as a team traveled with Paul and transported these gifts of money to Jerusalem, where they deposited with the elders. It's a very important principle for us as Christian leaders today. Something to remember. There's no question that Paul believed it was God's will for him to make this trip to Jerusalem. However, he knew he would face some serious and some challenges that were very threatening, which he also mentioned in his letter to the Romans. So he shared a couple of prayer requests. He says, "Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea," in Romans 15:31. The first part, Paul knew from personal experience how hostile many of these Jews could be who had not responded to the gospel. And we see in his life story, he was continually persecuted even by his own people. Often they tried to take his life. Furthermore, at one time he had been one of them, persecuting Christians, even putting them to death. But then he says, "Pray that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there." Paul wasn't sure how the elders would respond to his efforts to bring that money, and so he wanted to be doing what he ought to do. I just want to challenge you as a young person. A lot of times when you think about giving, you'll let your mom or dad or the older people take care of that. But God has entrusted sometimes monies to you. What are you doing, and what kind of heart do you have concerning giving? Think about that.